Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Stu does America.
Get your brand new Joe Biden, elderly man with a poor memory t-shirt. It's available at StuDoesMerch.com. Got the mugs as well up there. Use the code STU10 if you'd like to save 10 bucks. Perfect for the election season. Don't forget to follow the show at YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica and subscribe to the channel, like the videos, and hit the bell for notifications. Glenn Beck is here to tell us the real story that led to the murder of Laken Riley. Jim Jordan is taking on Biden's DOJ over their arrest of Blaze reporter Steve Baker. But we start by doing the her testimony. And this was the big story over the past 24 hours. We knew the elderly man with a poor memory report was coming out. We knew her was going to have to answer questions about it. And, you know, the first question was, how did he come to that conclusion? Elderly man with a poor memory. This is the president of the United States. Who would have ever seen any signs of him being an elderly man with poor memory? I've never noticed it myself. How the special counsel's portrayal of Biden's memory compares with the transcript. The New York Times wrote this story. I thought we'd give you a few parts of this to just set the scene before we get into the audio of the testimony. Here's why he said, you know what, he's an elderly man with a poor memory, and this is why we're not charging him. Biden, quote, well, I don't know. This is what, 2017, 2018 in that area? Her says, yes, sir. Biden, remember, in this time frame, my son has either been deployed or is dying. And so it was. And by the way, there were still a lot of people at the time when I got out of the Senate that were encouraging me to run in this period, except the president. I'm not, and I don't mean this is not a mean thing to say. He just thought that she, Hillary, had a better shot of winning the presidency than I did. Again, this is one of the most hated people in the history of politics. The fact that he thought she would do better is a statement of note. And so I hadn't, continuing the transcript, I hadn't at this point, even though I'm at Penn, I hadn't walked away from the idea that I may run for office again. But if I ran for again, I'd be running for president. And so what was happening, though? What month did Beau die? Oh, God, May 30. Now, it's a riveting account of that entire story. But of course, he's talking about 2017, 2018, and he says, my son has either been deployed or is dying. Now, of course, neither of those were true because he had died far earlier than that, as the White House lawyers in the room knew. They knew it. Beau's dad didn't know it. Rachel Cotton, White House lawyer, 2015 was the year. Unidentified male speaker, 2015. Biden, was it 2015 he had died? Male speaker, it was May of 2015. It was 2015. Now, if you saw this transcript pulled on the line from someone on the left who was defending Biden and saying all these poor memory things were lies, they started the transcript there with him saying it was 2015. Because if you start it with him there, it sounds like he knows what he's talking about. In reality, of course, he had to be told by multiple people it was 2015 before he did say it was 2015. Moving on to the next one, Biden. And what happened in the meantime was, as Trump gets elected in November of 2017, and then a male speaker says 2016. Now, he's saying Trump gets elected in November of 2017. Some people in our society are aware we have presidential elections every 4 years. And those 4 years, when you do it on that schedule, it comes up on an even year every single time. So 2017 in November is never the time for a presidential election. It's impossible to be the time for a presidential election. You'd think the guy who won the last presidential election might know this one simple trick as to figuring out when presidential elections occur, but apparently not. In 2016, a bunch of people correct him. He says, oh, 2016, all right. Why do I have 2017 here? White House counsel, that's when you left office, January of 2017. Yeah, okay, but that's when Trump gets sworn in, January. Right, correct. Okay, yeah. And in 2017, Beau had passed. Now, you might say, well, he doesn't know when he's president or when presidential elections take place. That's not that big of a deal for the president to know, of course. How about, you know, when he was actually vice president. Biden, someone must have been packing this up, just didn't pack up all the stuff and put it in a box because I didn't, her. Okay, well, do you have any idea where this material would have been before it got moved into the garage? Well, if it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president? 2017. So I was vice president. It must have come from the vice president stuff. That's all I can think of. This happened more than one time. Biden, my problem was I never knew there was any of these documents or boxes were specifically coming from or who packed them. Just did I get them delivered to me? And so this is, I'm at the stage in 2009. Am I still vice president? Indiscernible whispering, yeah, okay. Now, I don't know what the indiscernible whispering was. Maybe it was to point out, hey, Joe, not only were you still vice president at the time, it was your first year being vice president. These are big moments in people's lives, right? These are, like, a lot of times you think to yourself, I don't know if you do this, but like a lot of times I think, was that pre-COVID or post-COVID? Usually I can always remember that. Was that pre-9/11 or post-9/11? Usually I can always remember that. There are certain events that you can kind of remember and set up big barriers. You'd think becoming president and vice president of the United States would be those types of moments, but not apparently for Joe Biden. Now, Special Counsel Hur gets hammered by lawmakers. The Hill points this out, and it was interesting. He was getting hammered by both sides. The Democrats were pissed off that he noticed that Joe Biden was an elderly man with a poor memory and said, you shouldn't have put that in the report because that means people know it. Okay. And then the Republicans were kind of hammering him, too, saying, hey, like, that's not an excuse to not charge this guy, the fact that he has a poor memory. Of course, he did explain himself on all of that. Let me give you some of the clips. This is from the beginning of his opening statement. This is Robert Hur.
My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. This evidence included an audio recorded conversation during which Mr. Biden told his ghostwriter that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs.
No, we don't want to say
when that. When Mr. Biden said this, he was a private citizen speaking to his ghostwriter in his private rental home in Virginia.
Amazingly, this is basically the exact same accusation that was against Donald Trump, that he had documents that were classified and he was using to either back up one of his stories or share with a ghostwriter. But of course, when Trump does it, it's, you know, throw him in prison. When Biden does it, he's an elderly man with poor memory, apparently. Kelly Armstrong was part of this hearing. Here's what he had to say.
Mr. Hur, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
And his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
Yeah, but other than that, where did you find them? It doesn't seem to have much at all. Matt Gaetz got in on the fun as well.
Strider, the president. I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yes, yeah, so it's a lie, is just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right? Because what you put in your report was among the places Mr. Biden's lawyers found classified documents in the garage was a damaged open box.
Now, again, I'm not the most concerned guy about having these documents, but if you're going to go after one guy for it, you got to go after the other. Steve Cohen was on the other side of this. He's a Democrat trying to defend Joe Biden and doing about as good a job of it as you might imagine.
To be president, you need to have values. You need to have an understanding of what values America has and needs to maintain to keep the world safe and peaceful.
Sir, this is Wendy's.
That's dealing with Ukraine. That's dealing with difficult people like Netanyahu in Israel to try to get something done that's correct. That's what Joe Biden does. And understanding Social Security and Medicaid are important institutions that help seniors, not senile people. I mean, I really object to that comment. People see he's not. Nobody suggests he's senile, and that's disrespectful of senior people with any kind of memory disability. Lots of seniors have memory disability, but they're not senile, and to do such was shameful. Joe Biden is a competent, good president who knows American values. Gentleman's
time has expired. Gentleman, you'll...
I like how he just kind of shut down at the end there. Just like the power got unplugged. He's like... by the way, I am suggesting it. So if you're thinking that no one's suggesting he's senile, I'm suggesting it. There's at least one person suggesting it. I don't know if it's the very beginning of it or if it gets worse from here, I'm really scared, but who knows. Jerry Nadler and his pants were on site as well, and they were up, hoisted up to his nipples. He was talking about these guys all just use this time to make speeches rather than actually ask questions.
Because they were concerned that Trump had lied about possession of those documents and might conceal or destroy them. Special Counsel Smith found that President Trump obstructed his investigation by suggesting that his attorney falsely represent to the FBI and grand jury that Trump did not have the documents called for by the grand jury subpoena. At any point in your investigation, did you have any reason to believe that President Biden lied to you?
I do address in my report one response the president gave to a question that we had posed to him that we deemed to be not credible.
Was it clear he didn't lie?
I'm sorry, Congressman.
The report is clear that he didn't lie, or that he caused his staff to lie to you, and that he didn't cause his staff to lie to you. Your report is clear on that.
Do
you agree that causing someone to lie to the FBI is a classic example of obstruction of justice?
It's fascinating because he thought that Herr was going to say, no, he didn't lie, but he said, things that we did not find to be consistent with. He quite clearly says, yeah, he lies. He does. And his follow-up question was to be, isn't lying an obstruction of justice, trying to get it so Trump did lie in their view, but Biden didn't. Of course, when that didn't work, you had a young aide who was actually apparently aware of what was going on, whispering in his ear to rephrase the thing he said so that it would come out like the truth, even though he wasn't agreeing. These guys just roll over the witness. And again, you might think a lot of these hearings make no difference. I think that's a fair stance to take. A lot of times they don't. But like, why are these people treated like kings? Why are these people, and I mean this, this is a both sides thing. They get up there, they make these speeches, they don't let the people actually answer the questions. And because they have some weird power over them due to this structure, I don't understand why we're not having a conversation about changing the structure. If you're going to have people come to actually testify, they should be able to answer the questions, not be cut off and have words put in their mouth constantly. We're supposed to be a society that broke away from England, so we didn't have royal structures like this. This is like, these are supposed to be two equals. This is not a boss and an employee. This is someone who's testifying in front of Congress about something important, and they should be treated with some level of respect, but really that rarely happens. Of course, we also had just idiot Hank Johnson available to make a moron of himself once again. This time Guam not tipping over, but other things going on with the Federalist Society. Watch.
You are a member of the Federalist Society, are you not?
And fair.
Are you a member of the Federalist Society?
I am not a member of the Federalist Society.
But you are a Republican, though, aren't you?
I am a registered Republican.
Yes, sir. You.
And you're doing everything you can do to get President Trump reelected so that you can get appointed as a federal judge or perhaps to another position in the Department of Justice. Isn't that correct?
Congressman, I have no such aspirations, I can assure you, and I can tell you that partisan politics had no place whatsoever in my work. It had no place in the investigative steps that I took. It had no place in the decision that I made, and it had no place in a single word of my report.
I mean, this is one of those situations where you have someone with an IQ of a carrot trying to come after somebody, Robert Herr, who really, I thought, represented himself very well yesterday. Look, you can say he was very calm, reasoned, knew what he was talking about, and talking to a bunch of people who didn't know what they were talking about. Here is Pramila Jayapal trying to get him to say that he exonerated Biden, which, of course, is not accurate at all, and Herr wouldn't let her get away with it.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials.
I need to go back and make sure that I take note of a word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Kerr,
that appears
I'm
in the report.
With
that's
my
not
questions.
Part of my task as a
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that,
I received,
the term
that I ultimately reached relates to whether sufficient evidence existed such that the likely outcome
you exonerated
would be a conviction.
Him. I know
I
that the
not
term willful retention has a Mr. Hurd, my time.
See, this is the thing I'm talking about. Just talking over her, she didn't want to hear whether he exonerated her or not. She wanted to say it so it was on the record. Thoughts in congressional record, he was exonerated. Well, thankfully, he spoke up and said, that's not what I did at all. Again, the only reason he wasn't charged here is because he was an elderly man with a poor memory. They thought he'd get on, when he was charged, he'd be able to convince jurors, like, you know, look, I'm just an old guy. Yeah, I forgot some documents here or there. I don't remember everything so well. Let me go. That is, of course, it's not really the right standard of the law. However, it's an understandable one coming from a special prosecutor who says, look, I don't know that I'm going to get a conviction. We shouldn't go forward with it. Let me give you the last one, because it is interesting with Jim Jordan, who had some good moments in this hearing. Here he is asking one question here to Robert Hur.
Mr. Hur, why'd he do it? Why did Joe Biden, in your words, willfully retain and disclose classified materials? I mean, he knew the law. I think you told us, Mr. Hur. Page 231, you said this. President Biden had strong motivations. That's a key word. We're getting to motive now. President Biden had strong motivations to ignore the proper procedures for safeguarding the classified information in his notebooks. Why did he have strong motivations? Because, next word, because he decided months before leaving office to write a book. To write a book. That was his motive. Mr. Hur, how much did President Biden get paid for his book?
It may be $8 million,
if that's $8 million. Joe Biden had 8 million reasons to break the rules. Took classified information and shared it with the guy who was writing the book. And the next thing you say in your report is, quote, such a record would buttress his legacy as a world leader. You know what this is? It wasn't just the money. It wasn't just $8 million. It was also his ego. Pride and money is why he knowingly violated the rules. The oldest motives in the book, pride and money. You agree with that, Mr. Hur? You wrote it in your report.
That language, and it does appear in the report, and we did identify evidence supporting those assessments.
That's your job when you're a special prosecutor. Just say, yeah, basically you're right, in the most boring way possible, so it's really, you know, really clear to no one. I will say this, far more devastating than Joe Biden being charged with the document stuff is what actually came out of that report. The fact that he is an elderly man with poor memory and still tons of evidence that he actually did all the things. I would say this is the best possible outcome for Donald Trump and the Republicans, the way this turned out. And Joe Biden's got an uphill battle. And if you've ever seen him try to go upstairs, you realize how difficult that climb is going to be. So I love Eric July. He's from Blaze Media. He's been on the show a million times. He's a great dude. And you probably know about his independent comic book company, the Ripaverse. Now, Ripaverse Comics is the product of a comic book guy, you know, who just believes in the magic of the culture. He doesn't want it to be woke. He wants his, you know, he wants people to enjoy comic books again. And this has been a huge hit. Right now, the pre-order campaign for the newest book from the Ripperverse has launched. It is Yaira Number One. Yaira Number One is a 90-page graphic novel that promises to wow you with stunning cinematic action throughout and answer burning questions about the Ripperverse's resident femme fatale. Starting with Isom Number One, they have had three back-to-back-to-back million-dollar-plus campaigns, and they're hoping to make this the fourth. The pre-order campaign ends on May 25th, and orders will go out immediately. So please visit ripaverse.com/Yaira. Ripaverse.com/Yaira. It's Y-A-I-R-A. You can pre-order right now. These things have been huge hits. Obviously, massive collectors items as well. And just something that's not woke and super enjoyable from a really good guy who cares about the culture and cares about the country. It's ripaverse.com/Yaira to pre-order Yaira number one.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
I am joined once again by Glenn Beck. He has a brand new special coming up next at 9 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to stay tuned. Tonight, it is the globalist mass migration agenda that led to Laken Riley's murder, or Lincoln Riley's murder. We don't know which one.
Lincoln. I like Lincoln.
Yeah. He's probably a little upset about that.
He was. Yeah. I always heard that he had some, I don't know what happened to him, but he had a head wound many, many years ago.
Lincoln, yeah.
But apparently he's still alive.
Right.
Apparently he's still, was until an immigrant.
Yep, until an immigrant. Yeah. The border is, it's interesting, like, watching the State of the Union, he had this moment, obviously, where, the congresswoman said,
Marjorie
Taylor Greene, thank you, started yelling at him and saying, hey, you know, this is an illegal, Laken Riley, say her name. And he says it. He obviously says Lincoln, which is bad. But he calls her an illegal. Okay, kind of using the phrasing that Marjorie Taylor Greene used. This to me provides a real opportunity politically for Biden, doesn't it? To come out and say, you know what? I don't normally call illegal immigrants illegals or undocumented immigrants illegals, but you know, when you come out and you murder someone, I'm going to stick by the illegal thing.
No, you know, not
he
only that,
could I mean, have done that, right?
Yeah, no, it would have been wise to do that, because that's what I think average people think when it comes to the illegal immigration. You know, they said themselves, wait till you see the video that we have of the people in the past talking about illegal immigration. Oh. We played one of, I think it was
the other day.
We Chuck one. Schumer. No, it was Joe Biden.
Biden and Schumer.
And Schumer, yeah. And they said, if you're just not willing to use the words illegal immigration, then you're not serious about the border. Well,
and
yes.
You're hiding, I think it was Schumer that said, you're hiding what you really believe, because most Americans will say, if you think it's illegal, you'll say it's illegal. But
Correct.
We're not saying it's illegal. Why?
Right.
Great question.
Great question.
Old timey Chuck Schumer.
Right. And we're seeing now, I mean, what you'll see on tonight's special is all about how nobody talked like this 20 years ago, 10 years ago. It wasn't until about 2017 that all of a sudden, everything started to really change on a global scale in the West. Mm. And it is the WEF, the World Economic Forum, the UN, and all the big globalists. They started, for some reason, talking about mass migration and that there really isn't anyone that's an illegal. You should be allowed to go anywhere you want. That had never been discussed, okay? Nobody had ever talked about that stuff except the extreme, extreme left or libertarian. But then all of a sudden, it was in all 17 of the UN sustainable goals. All 17 revolve around mass migration. And it's happening in every, this is the thing that the media is giving America no perspective on. These marches and the outrage is coming from every Western country, because every Western country is being overrun. You go to London, there were parts in London where, what is it, Paddington Station, where Paddington Bear is supposed to be. There are no real English people there. Okay,
just bears,
okay. and people in burkas. Mm. I mean, it's Dearborn, Michigan, and that's not fighting. I don't know if you've noticed this, but you know, there might be some that are very pro-constitution, but not a lot. Not a lot.
If you elect Ilhan Omar, it's
correct.
Hard to believe.
It's hard to believe.
You're super in love with the Constitution.
Right. So what are we doing? What is the real plan? Well, the real plan is tied up in the sustainable goals from the UN. And that's all by 2030. We're all being pushed to the brink of collapse. Did you see the story that just came out a few hours ago? We're having a problem with a measles outbreak now. Because the breeding grounds are these homeless shelters where all the illegals are going. Wherever the illegals are going, there's a measles outbreak. Why? Because they didn't have the MMR when they were a kid. So now measles is going around, something that we've curtailed for decades.
We only require, with the force of law, require U.S. citizens to have vaccines. When people are coming across our border, we don't care at all. They just have whatever you want.
We don't care. This is, again, another unintended consequences. Who is going to pay for all of the hospital care? What hospital can have all of these patients that don't speak English, are from another country, just fill the hospitals? What happens to the other citizens?
Well, we all know, though, if just these Republicans would care about the border and pass this bipartisan border bill, then the president could do something. But right now, his hands are tied, Glenn. Does anyone on earth believe that narrative? Is there one person on earth, Republican, Democrat, Independent, that believes that narrative?
I refuse to even engage in that anymore.
You are talking about more important things here, I will admit. But it is fascinating that, like, at some point in our history, and I don't know when this changed, but, like, you know, Bill Clinton had that moment in his campaign where, like, you know, the sister soldier moment, right? Mm-hmm. Where his people on his side are saying crazy things. And he steps up and says, my side's crazy on this. And here is where they should be.
You don't do that now.
They don't do that anymore.
No,
it's gone.
No.
Why wouldn't he just say, look, this is a murderer. Yes, illegal is a fine term for a murderer.
You can't. Look at what's happening with...
He apologized to the murderer,
Glenn. Look what's happening in Michigan. He is saying we've got to help. We didn't stop the war to nurse anybody back to health to allow Hitler to get his footing again. Mm. Not until Hitler was dead and all of the main, and they surrendered and said, okay, we're done. Then we took those people and tried them and hung them if they were guilty. Look at what they're doing. If you can't come out and say, Israel's right on this one, and until those people are all wiped out, all the members of Hamas and the people of Palestine say, hey, we really disagree with what Hamas did. That was really bad. The Germans did that in the end, even if it was just to save their own lives. They at least said it, and then they changed. Look at what we're doing. Did you know, we didn't even have a chance to talk about it, did you know that Joe Biden just freed up some more billions for Iran? We just freed up more money for Iran yesterday.
At the same time, we're potentially banning TikTok, because they're owned by China, who's on a list of four countries, one of which is Iran, that you can't do business with. But we're going to free up billions of dollars to give to Iran?
I mean,
how does this work?
At what point do the American people recognize that this cannot be unintentional? At what point? Listen to the Carol Roth interview we did on the show today.
Yeah, get into this, because I think this is fascinating. And no one knows about it. Can you explain the basics?
Kind of. Yeah. So it's the transparency. It's the business transparency, corporate transparency. But when you think corporate transparency, you're thinking GE,
Amazon.
Pfizer, Amazon. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has a license for a business, you're a restaurant owner, you are a barber, and you have a license to be able to cut people's hair. Mm-hmm. You have an LLC, you have an S corp, you have any small business at all, or ever have had a small business,
or ever have.
Uh-huh. If you still have your LLC, you could open a business. You better report yourself to the criminal division of the Treasury Department. And you have to give them, I don't even know. I don't even know how much. I showed you the...
Show me the documents.
It's crazy.
The amount of information and rules and restrictions and all these things is incredible.
It'll take you, I don't even know, the first time 100 man hours to be able to figure this all out. And if you're wrong, if you don't submit, and I'm talking to everyone who has a business that makes less than $5 million a year, or has more than 20 employees.
Isn't it less than 20 employees?
I'm sorry, less than 20 employees, which that doesn't qualify to me as a small business, okay? Over 20 employees? Okay, you know, 150 employees, that's beginning to be a real small business. Less than 20 employees?
It could be a convenience store,
convenience
a mom-and-pop
store.
Hardware store.
Yes,
and
that's what this is targeting, okay? And if you, once you fill it out, you can't forget about updating it. You get a driver's license, and the driver's license, yours expired, and so now you have a new driver's license. You move to another address. You have to inform the Treasury Department, or you are fined. It's either $500 or $800 every day that you are in infraction and face up to 10 years in federal prison.
For not filing some paperwork that no one needed last year.
If you started a small business this year, okay, January 1st, 2024, you are already going to be fined if they hold new people to this right now. But you had until the end of January, you have 30 days to give the information to the Treasury Department. So you have 30 days from the minute you get your business license or your LLC or anything else. If you had one already before the first of the year, then you have until the end of this year. But you're facing prison if you don't file.
And this goes back to what you were saying about how this all seems intentional, right? Like you're building a structure around people in which they almost can't help but violate the law in some way. And then if they decide you're the target, then you're the target.
Show me the person, I'll show you the crime. Mm. That is secondary, though, to what I believe is the goal of killing the entrepreneur. Look at what happened. Who got to open their doors during COVID? It wasn't the mom and pop stores.
Yeah.
Okay. It was the big, huge stores like Home Depot. They were fine. Kill off the entrepreneur, kill off the small restaurateur, kill off the barber and the hairdresser. Then when that wasn't enough, now you have this. So you're not only making everyone a criminal on technicalities that nobody knows.
Right.
But you're also getting a new business owner to go, what the, I have to do what?
And
I'm not doing that.
Someone who is not a business owner. This, I totally relate to this part of it. When I see stuff like this, I'm just like, I'm not going to do it.
That's what I mean.
Not going to take the risk.
Yeah.
Not going to jump into the game.
Why do it? Why do it?
Yeah.
It's too much of a hassle.
Yep.
And the risk, the potential risk is too great. Mm. So everybody's an employee now. Hey, you know what? You could be a union member.
I mean, that sounds delightful, but no. Glenn, his new special coming up 9 p.m. Eastern. It is the globalist mass migration agenda that led to Laken Riley's murder. So stay tuned for that. Always the best way to watch is Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/stew. Use the promo code stew and you will save $20. Glenn, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan, in scathing letter, launches probe into DOJ's arrest of Blaze News journalist Steve Baker. Jordan's letter outlines serious concerns about the DOJ's selective prosecution concerning Baker's March 1st arrest in Dallas, as well as the department's commitments to the First Amendment rights of journalists. The letter notes that other journalists, This is kind of an issue. Other journalists who were in the Capitol on January 6th haven't been charged. Yet the DOJ still decided to charge Baker, who was critical of federal investigators and prosecutions related to January 6th. This is a quote. This conduct smacks of harassment and selective treatment for a disfavored criminal defendant. The letter states, adding that it appears the DOJ has violated its mission of equal justice under the law. Yeah, I'll say. And that its conduct criminalizes politics and weaponizes the administration of justice. Jerry Nadler was also copied on the letter, which he stuck in his pants that were up to his nipples. In the letter, Jordan demanded that Graves produces the following no later than March 26, all documents and communications regarding to Baker's arrest, regarding any investigation, prosecutions, and arrests of any other journalist covering January 6, and related to the DOJ's determination to the request pretrial detention of defendants charged in connection with January 6, plus those who are now or who have been in pretrial detention related to January 6. So lots of big questions here being asked by Jim Jordan, and thankfully there's some people in Washington that will actually stand up for what used to be the First Amendment. I'm not sure if that still exists anymore, but that is where we are in this country. The fact that they're just arresting journalists is really a disgrace. And thankfully, Jordan is there. We'll keep you updated on all the details there. And I should point out, like, I mean, Blaze, you know, sure, Steve Baker does a lot of great work. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying he's not the only guy doing incredible investigations for this network. And a lot of times, I feel like, you know, we don't even get credit for our investigations. We're doing incredible stuff. You can go to youtube.com/StudosAmerica and watch our investigation on Corinne Jean-Pierre. But I want to make sure you see this if you're just happening to watch the show today or listening to it on podcast. We're going to give you the update, the real investigation. Corinne Jean-Pierre, has she ever worn the same outfit twice? We ask that question next. Do you remember a time when vital medications didn't get rationed in the United States? I mean, that used to be something like you'd hear about in Somalia or something, but now is right here in the good old US of A. Thanks, Joe Biden. This is one reason why you need a Jace case on hand. It is a personalized emergency medication kit that contains five essential antibiotics, which treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It's customizable, has dozens of add-on medications available. You can choose the best ones that fit you and your family's needs. And if you're looking at the world right now and you're kind of saying, hey, I need to prepare myself. I need to have some cash on hand. Maybe I'm preparing myself with precious metals. Maybe I'm preparing myself with ways to defend myself and my family, food, water, all those things. You also need life-saving medications, and you can get them delivered right to your door from Jace Medical and the Jace case. The Jace case gives you peace of mind, so you're not just hoping you have access to medication in an emergency, you just have it. Go to jacemedical.com, enter the code STU at checkout, and get the discount on your order. It's promo code STU at jacemedical.com, J-A-S-E medical.com. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical.
Filled with natural wonders and scientific discovery, there exist secrets in the shadows that defy our understanding. Phenomena that dance on the edge of reason and imagination. Join us as we journey through the dark corridors of the unknown, guided by the courageous souls who dare to confront the unexplained and the unfathomable. Together, we'll delve into the Enigma Files. To know the truth, we must ask the questions. Tonight, one of the most perplexing investigations we have ever attempted. Has White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre ever worn the same outfit twice?
Well, human beings are a species unlike any other. Where a canine or a fowl will prance around outdoors in their natural environment, human beings will decorate themselves with colorful fabrics or clothing.
These curious traditions have become almost commonplace among this species. But why?
In our studies, we see most humans acquiring several different combinations of top covers or shirts and bottom covers or pants. It's very common to have enough of these outfits, as they're called, to last up to 1 or 2 weeks without repeat use. What scientists have never before seen is someone who was able to wear a different outfit every single day they were observed in the wild for well over a year.
While some considered it possible, experts remained dismissive.
Sir, is it true that the press secretary wears different outfits every single day?
A different set of clothes every day of the year? Give me a break! In here, prove it!
Without time travel, how can one prove something that happened in the past?
Oh, well, all of the press conferences are on YouTube.
Over 160 press conferences. Could there possibly be 160 outfits? Even in the age of artificial intelligence, no known technology could process all of this information.
In our systematic analysis, we categorized data based on color attributes. For instance, we examined 13 instances of yellow attire. Following a thorough examination of each example, no duplications were identified. We also observed 16 instances of blue attire and 21 of green, with no repetitions in either category. There were even 36 red days, no repeats whatsoever. Our comprehensive review resulted in no incidents of recurrence. Not one.
Some would say the case was closed, but was it? No, it was not. While mainstream scientists have reached consensus, a new breed of independent investigators aren't so sure.
What kind of slop are they trying to force down your throats now? More lies? Ask your precious doctor about August 13th, 2022, April 8th, 2023. You're gonna watch him run for the hills, my friend.
Okay, I think we're done here. Who told you about those dates?
Gilbert Flenken is a digital navigational expert, fluent in over 3 internet search engines. Gilbert's research uncovered information that the scientific orthodoxy might have preferred remain undisclosed.
Big Pharma doesn't want you to see this. Go ahead, take a look. It's right there. Everyone can see it. August 13th, April 8th, same outfit. Yeah, out in the open the whole time. And how about December 13th? How about that, huh? I dare you to show the pictures. You won't show them. You won't let the people see.
No. I can see how someone without training might think that they're the same.
Marthany Ploft has studied the cultural habits of the human species for over 2 decades. She also gives off really strong vibes, but then thinks it's over some imaginary boundary about texting after 10 p.m. But whatever.
Well, look, these are really pretty outfits. I see the reddish pink piping. I see the dictator cut of the jacket. I see the shoulder pads. But these are not the same. You can see it in the slope of the blouse. While these are similar, they're not identical. Well, one of the reasons that no one thought this was possible was the staggering cost. Each one of these outfits is a designer item. We're talking maybe $2,500 a pop? That's close to $400,000 in clothing for a woman who worked at Applebee's like 3 years ago. Really? Where's the money coming from? And also, when she was at Applebee's, how did anyone get the right appetizer? I mean, she's an idiot.
On the next episode, we investigate the mind-bending physics behind one of Earth's greatest mysteries, Jerry Nadler's pants. How did they get up that high? How do they stay up there? Just like how and why? Join us on our next journey into the Enigma Files.
Coming Coming up tomorrow, we are releasing our third installment in the Blaze original series, available only to Blaze TV subscribers. It's Texas versus the Feds, how the elites use the border crisis against us. Join Jason Buttrell and the Blaze Originals crew as they go out on a road trip with the Take Our Border Back convoy to the front line of the border crisis, and they uncover what was really happening during Governor Greg Abbott's fight against federal agents. Our team reveals the story the mainstream media didn't want you to know. Don't miss it. BlazeOriginals.com. The code is BORDERCRISIS. Get $30 off. BlazeOriginals.com.